As it is the end of summer, I'm pretty sure I get to preach the last Psalm of Summer in our Psalm of Summer series. I hope you guys have been enjoying jumping into the Psalter, as I like to call it, this ancient Hebrew hymnal that we have that's full of great hope and joy in God. And so before we go into this last Psalm of Summer, though, let's just bow our heads in prayer and ask God to work in and through our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by this opportunity that we get to just dive into your word and to be formed by it and to be shaped by it. Lord, we pray that you would form us into people that love you more and trust you more and find our hope in you each and every day. Lord, work in our hearts so that we may all, and look, me included up here, get out of the way so that you may be glorified in and through our lives, and that you would work in and through our hearts this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world of urgent need. I know a statement like this doesn't come as a surprise to any of you, right? We know that this is true. Like, we live in a world that is filled with both physical and spiritual needs that break our hearts when we see them or when we hear of them. Those urgent needs we see every day right here in Fenland Falls and in the Kawartha Lakes. Whether it be the growing number of people who are unable to find a safe place to live or food to eat, joy and peace away from grief, addiction, depression, or anxiety. Or those in our workplaces, neighborhoods, schools, families who have not come to a life-saving faith in Jesus. Those in our lives that we pray for, that we share Jesus with, that we desperately desire to come and experience the hope of a reconciled relationship with God. We live in a world of urgent need. But there's also those urgent needs that we are aware of and hear about worldwide. Right, we hear of the devastation around the world that is the result of things like poverty, suffering, slavery, trafficking, and natural disasters. And yes, those bring us to tears and lead us to pray for our world. But we also hear of the over 7,000 people groups that comprise of over 3 billion people worldwide that missions organizations would consider unreached. Now, when we hear the term unreached, it means that these people are living in places around the world where the name of Jesus is largely unknown. There are so few Christ followers in that area that it is nearly impossible on their own to reach the people that need to hear about Jesus. Like, think about what that means for a second with me. That is over 3 billion people. In cities, villages, remote tribes from across different parts of our world who have never heard the gospel. Over 3 billion people who live desperately searching for hope in all the wrong people, faiths, or places in a world that's marred by the sin that's inside all of us. A sin that separates them from God. A sin that leaves them facing a physical and forever death without a relationship with Him. Over 3 billion people who do not have anyone to share with them the hopeful good news of a forever life and salvation for all who put faith and trust in Jesus. Over 3 billion people who are living in urgent need of hearing and experiencing the love of God. We live in a world of urgent need, pressing, desperate, forever need. And it's a reality that should break our hearts. It's a truth that should lead us all who have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus to really ask the question, what can I do? What can I do? And so in this last Psalm of Summer, the songwriter of this psalm literally leads the church in singing the answer to this question. See, the psalmist actually helps us to see that God created us and saved us into new lives that can count in a world of urgent need. And it brings us to a place where we see that God has blessed us with his forgiving, freeing, life-giving grace, all for his greater and global purposes. And so if you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we'll be reading Psalm 67 this morning. Psalm 67. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's Bibles in front of you in your seats. I'd encourage you to open up to Psalm 67. It can be found on page 481. And as we go through this song, my prayer is that God will grow our desire to live with this global purpose that he saves us into. And that purpose is to live with a desire to know and worship God so the nations may know and worship him. To the choir master with stringed instruments, shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let them sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Peace. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth. This is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It truly is. It's a psalm that's rooted in beautiful song. It's important for us who are his people to think through and understand, because it's actually for his favor and blessing to be on their lives. Now, if this prayer sounds familiar, lines, but then it should sound familiar from scripture itself, right? The psalmist is actually using the priestly blessing of not only the fact that God is the source of all blessing, but it was also a reminder of who he is and always will be. And so in prayer, the psalmist uses this blessing from Numbers to bring the most in their lives, right? To not only see God as the source of all blessings, but also to see God in prayer. And it's a call for us to do the same thing, right? We are to learn from this psalm to live with a desire that we should desire and worship a God for two important characteristics: his greatness and his gracious God, because he is just and upright, right? As we read that he judges the peoples with equity, people and other people from injustice and oppression, but he is also faithful to not leave the guilty unpunished. Read that he guides the nations upon the earth, right? This points to the truth that God is all-knowing. Because he is all this, this means his guidance is reliable, right? His lead is right and true. And therefore, we also see that he's a great God because he's faithful to his promises and always will be. And we see that in verse 6. And the psalmist here uses poetry to point us to see that the ground of the earth that he created continues to provide for us things like food and shelter. And because of this truth, because of this continued provision, his children can trust him to continue to be faithful to who he is and to provide all that we need because of who he is forever. And so in this psalm, we're to see him as both a great God, but we're also to live with a desire to know and worship him because he is a gracious God. That's the second thing we see, right? We see those two things in verse 2. When the psalmist prays that all will know God's way, which is saying his character, and will know his saving power. And when it says his saving power here, the song is actually redirecting the minds and the hearts of those singing to remember and reflect on the history of God's people and see the many ways that God has delivered them, right? Whether it be reflecting on the deliverance experienced by Noah during the flood, or how God parted the Red Sea to save his people from slavery and into freedom, right? These are the moments of God's saving power that they are to remember. Those salvation moments they are to reflect on, those moments that show all people, like you and me, the glory of our great and gracious God. Moments when God's people were being attacked and needed to be saved. But remember, they're also to reflect on those moments where they themselves rebelled against God and his ways And we're still shown God's compassionate, steadfast love and mercy, right? It's these moments that reveal to them and us today the heart of our Heavenly Father, a Father who truly delights in blessing his people with mercy and saving grace again and again and again and again. A heart to save that we see today come to full reality in the life and ministry of Jesus, right? The heart of a great and gracious God who desires to save us so much that he planned from the very beginning a way for sinners like you and me to live in right relationship with him. And he did this by sending his son, Jesus, God in the flesh, who was like us in every way except for the fact that he never sinned. He always obeyed God, always lived in the way God wanted us to live, and did all of this to carry the weight and the punishment of our sin that separates us from him, all on his innocent back by dying on the cross for you and me, only to rise again 3 days later into new life, making a way for you and me to be forgiven of our sins and live now and into forever in new life with him. What an amazing God. And all we need to do is believe in who he is and what he has done for us and turn away from our sin and live those new lives that we have been given, following Jesus and learning in his ways. Loved ones, this is our great and gracious God. He is our great and gracious God that we are to live with a desire to know more every day that he blesses us with. And the more that we strive to deeply and personally know this great and gracious God, the more we will be led to praise and worship him. And the more we praise and worship God, the more we reflect the heart of the psalmist in verse 4, right? We live glad, joy-filled lives as we praise him for who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do in his work of salvation. Like, this is what it means to live a life of worship. And it's important to think about, because oftentimes it can be easy for all of us to really miss what worship means. Sometimes we can get caught up and see that worship kind of only means what we're doing here, right, on a Sunday. And this is part of our worship. This is a big part of worshiping God. But what we often miss is this is only one morning of a life that is supposed to be all lived out for praise and worship of God. What the Bible points us to is that true worship of God is an act that must impact all of our lives. Pastor and theologian John Piper explains biblical worship as the inner essence of treasuring God and its authentic expressions in what we say, sing, pray, and do. What he's saying is that living a life of worship is based on us doing two things. One, striving to know our God more every day about who he is and his grace and mercy and love for us, which will lead us to value him more than anything in this world. And two, out of that treasuring of God that he leads us into, we live out our day-to-day lives for God. Following him, seeking him, serving him, obeying him, trusting him in everything we say, sing, pray, and do. And we do this all because there is no greater source of joy, gladness, and hope than living for our great and gracious God. That is why worship of God can and does literally impact all of our lives. Right? For example, husbands and wives. A life of worship will grow a desire in you to serve one another more sacrificially with more joy in your lives together. Because of your life of worship, you will trust the God who calls you to do so. Parents, a life of worship will grow in us a desire to pause and be patient with our children as we seek to reflect the grace and patience of our Heavenly Father each day that we experience each day. A life of worship will change your life. A life of worship will lead you to know and treasure God more every day and desire to live for him out of worship of him. Live for him out of worship of him, trusting that in him there will always be more joy and gladness in your life as you do so. It's why we need to learn from this psalm this morning. We need to learn to live our lives with a desire to know and worship our great and gracious God, because it will lead us into lives of worship that will want to experience, obey, and follow God wherever and whatever he may call us to do, and find in him the one who is more satisfying, more impressive than anything in this world. And in doing so, he protects us from treasuring something else above God. Because, honesty moment, let's face it, all of us are prone to seek out treasures other than God to praise and try to find our satisfaction in. Right? If we're honest and true, we can try to worship anything. We can find our joy and gladness in things like other people's opinions of us, or worship the striving for success in the world's eyes by having the right education or job or relationship status or right amount in our bank account, right? All of us probably are more inclined than we would want to admit to praise the wrong things and try to find our joy and gladness in those. And so we must ask this question this morning. Am I seeking to find my joy and gladness in worshiping God or something else? Is there something, someone, some belief that I am looking to for salvation above our great and gracious God? Think about that. Ask that question of yourself. And if there is something or someone that God is stirring in your heart and mind right now that may be distracting you from him, turn away from it and run to Jesus. Because as we've already seen, it's in him you will find forgiveness and mercy and a greater joy than anything that this world has to offer. And so this psalm shows us that it is essential for us to live with a desire to know and worship our great and gracious God. However, when we actually look at the psalm again, it's also important to see that there's also a greater purpose that God has for these lives of worship that he saved us into. Right? There's a greater global purpose that goes way beyond ourselves. Just look at the first few verses again with me. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you, right? Did you catch that? Literally, did you catch that, right? The word that in verse 2 is an important part for understanding God's purposes for you and me in a world of urgent need, right? The word that here means that there's a greater purpose in our great and gracious God blessing us with his saving grace and mercy and making us sons and daughters of him. There is a bigger purpose to these new lives that we have been blessed with. There's a bigger purpose to who we are in Christ. These new lives of worship that are set on treasuring God for who he is and what he has done for us. And that greater purpose is what we see in verse 2. That your way may be known on earth. Your saving power among the nations. Here's the greater global purpose that God wanted Israel to live with and wants us as God's people to live with today. God wants us to live with a desire to know and worship God so the nations may know and worship him. So the nations may know and worship him. And this has always been God's desire for his saved people, that we would be a beacon of hope and a light of dark and urgent need. And we have seen this great and global purpose and desire that God has for us right from the book of Genesis. Right? When we look at Genesis 12, when we read God's promises to Abram, who later becomes Abraham, we see this great and global purpose right from that point. And we see in this passage that God calls Abraham to leave his home and family for a land that God would show him. But he calls him to this with this massive promise. And here's the promise we see in Genesis 12. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So God is promising here to bless Abraham's family so that all the people groups of the world or all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham's family. And what we see throughout our Bibles after this is the blessing that was to come through his family is ultimately our salvation from sin and our restored relationship with God in and through Jesus, who came from Abraham's family line. Which means that this blessing was always meant to reach the families of the earth as more people from different parts of the world, look, including us, would come to faith in Jesus and through that faith join Abraham's family and live out God's great and global purpose to share the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is the same purpose Jesus sent us to live out as God's people in the Great Commission when he called us to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the purpose that led the Apostle Paul to just keep going beyond the places where the gospel had already been preached, because he saw himself the way we should see ourselves, as blessed by grace, so the nations may also be blessed. And it's the same purpose that leads the psalmist here to repeat the same prayer 2 times in different ways throughout Psalm 67. Did you notice that? "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." It's kind of like a chorus, right? It's a chorus to this great worship song, right? It's repeated over and over again so that we remember it, so that we see it, so that it is the focus of this worship song. And it is the focus because it's a prayer that comes out of a desire to live out the purpose God wants us, his church, to live in this world of urgent need. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." This is God's mission. It's his purpose for his people, his church, his children. God desires to bless us so we might make his salvation known in all nations. And it's a mission he is definitely passionate about. Because at the core of who God is, he desires to gather and save worshipers of him from every tribe, nation, language, and people so that they may rejoice and be glad in God. And so as his people, we then need to desire to know and worship him so that we may share his heart for the nations, so that we may live for the glory of his name where he has planted us and where he might be sending us or helping us send other people to, and join him on this greater and global purpose. And so it leaves the question, what do we need to do to make his purpose for our lives the desire of our hearts? What do we need to do? Like, this is his great and global purpose, both for like each and every one individually here, but all of us together as a church family, as Trentside, right? We need to take the time to ask ourselves what this means for our lives and how we can live out this great and global purpose together. And so for some of you this morning, this may mean taking some space this week to open your Bibles, to pray intentionally and to talk to trusted friends, to prayerfully consider how you can desire to know and worship God more so that you can live on this life of purpose. Again, it's John Piper who famously said, "The fuel for global missions is our worship." And why he said this is because Well, he essentially says that no one will be compelled to live out on this great and global purpose. No one will be compelled to share the good news in Jesus unless they are passionate about and stunned by the greatness and grace of our God. So the question is, are you passionate about and stunned by the greatness and grace of our God? And if you're challenged by this, I pray that God would give you a grander vision of himself, a bigger vision of his glory and his mercy, and that you will run to him and experience deeply the blessing of his grace. However, for some of you, this may actually involve thinking about what it means for you and your family to actually live out this great and global purpose, right? How and where may God be calling you to share the good news of Jesus? This may mean committing to praying for and sharing the truth about hope and life in Jesus with somebody in your community, somebody in your life, somebody in your school, workplace, sports teams, wherever it may be, now, today. It may be committing to that, and I hope it is. But it also may mean considering how and where you and your family could play a bigger role in getting the good news of Jesus to the over 3 billion people who are still left unreached. God calls his people into this mission in different ways. Like, it's going to look different for each and every one. Some will be goers, some will be senders, right? Some people he will call to be senders, to pray for, send missionaries globally, financially or spiritually, encouraging those people to go to the nations and encouraging that way. That is one way we can live as world Christians, as some people say. But there will be some people that will be called to go. They'll be called to go to the nations, to go for the sake of his name and live for his glory. So wherever and however he may be calling you this morning, what is important is that you do all of this for the glory of God and the spread of his kingdom, to be faithful to his call to you. Because here's the truth that we learn from Psalm 67. And it's that God calls us all to live on his greater and global purpose and mission. He wants us to live with a desire to know and worship God so the nations may know and worship him. He desires for you and me to live with the same heart and the same prayer that the psalmist had for the millions upon millions of people who have yet to hear of the gladness and joy that they can experience through faith in Jesus Christ. And so my prayer for all of us this morning is that this prayer may become our prayer, that this desire would become our desire and the desire of our hearts as well. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all of the peoples praise you. Lord, grow in us deeper hearts that want to cling to you, love you, and follow you with every step that we take. Help us to live lives of worship. And not just live thankful for the blessing, but live thankful for the blessing and live obedient to the purpose you call us to live. May you give us hearts to see people come to a life-saving faith in you. May you give us a passion. May we share your passion, Lord, to see people across the nations, around the world, from people groups everywhere. We pray in particular for the over 3 billion people who don't even have a Bible in their own language or know the good news of Jesus yet. And we ask, Lord, how you would use us to be a part of reaching them. Grow our hearts for them. Grow our burdens for them. Whether we be senders, or maybe we even be goers. Lord, let this psalm be a burning passion for our hearts and lives. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.